Blog Talk Radio.
Tell my baby naked hat. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Tell my baby naked hat.
Doing it doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yo, bow, wow, yippee yo, yippee yo. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yo, bow, wow, yippee yo,
greetings, sapiens.
You see that little red line there on the switchboard that says show is on but not streaming?
Yes, that means that we are talking to ourselves. I'll let Bill O get the first rant.
Oh, there it goes.
That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on the teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay. Ready? Sure.
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
What does that mean?
Sting is going to do, it's a video, Sting video.
What is,
for credit.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Moron.
All right, go, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is up.
Again, 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live!
It's going on at Fox right now.
Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
Hey, California! He just won, man.
My TV just changed.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
Well, there it is. Welcome to Naked Soma's iContact Radio Hour. We just saw it.
There it is.
It is bedlam in the United States. Harlem is freaking out. We got 284. California is on the dock.
We're done.
That's it. Stick a fork in the McCain! Oh, this is good. Welcome to a special SomaCast hosing of the neocons. Oh, if you're looking for fair and balanced, you're in the wrong place. That's right. People are going... This is the equivalent of the Philadelphia Phillies thing we saw last week. It's like the O.J. trial on crack.
Oh, this is unbelievable. Look at them.
Times Square, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the
Sentimente.
And we have pretty much got on right when the cork was popping.
Yeah.
And typical Blog Talk Radio tried to screw us. You know, we love you, Blog Talk, but, I mean... Holy freaking cow. Can we keep the soul in the sky one night? And we're at Obama headquarters. Oh, look at this. The 207. And they're going to just knock it down here. This is amazing.
Wow.
All right. I got to go switch to Fox to see this. This is wild.
Wow. Look at this.
This is an eco night. It's so muted. On Fox is giving a run. It's very muted. That's right, Ben. Another country
in the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
People are crying and freaking out.
Yeah. Well, you had to see my class tonight. I couldn't. They were nuts. They were bouncing off the walls.
From around 9:30, 10 o'clock, once Pennsylvania was in the back of the truck, it was like New Year's Eve. It was like you just counted down to 11 o'clock when California closed, and that was it.
Yep.
Did he win Florida, too?
Look at the crowd.
Oh, yeah,
not to my knowledge. I don't know if those numbers came through yet.
Because you shot up to 285. Wouldn't that be Florida and...
I don't know.
55 and 27?
Hold on. Let me look on my little mappy. Yeah.
White people, brown people, black people. All the popo people. It is over. This is like the Berlin Wall coming down or some shit.
84% of precincts in Florida, and Obama 51-49%.
So, okay. Well, I'm looking at the bottom of the screen.
But he wasn't declared a winner yet on this.
No. Well, I can't tell on that stupid MSNBC map. The Florida's cut off.
Well, MSNBC on the screen here is still white for Florida, so that didn't come through yet.
Well, he won Oregon and Washington, too. Maybe that's why it went up so much. This is like, people, they can't even speak. They're, like, freaking out. Well, he went from 207 to 284, like, in a heartbeat. So what is that?
That is election-gasm.
Yes.
Wow.
This is it. Here I am, baby. Little Stevie Wonder.
Ha-ha! That's great.
Oh, yeah! Now we're going to get ethnic.
Oh, yeah. Here
we're
going to
get some crunk out now. The crunk juice is coming out.
Oh, my goodness.
I just did a little dance with the guys at the pizza parlor around the corner. Because they didn't have a radio on, and then they're trapped there, you know, flopping out the pizza. They were trying to call us up by 11 o'clock because they wanted to go down to the cellar bar.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to recruit me to go. I said, you know, I've got to do my duty here and talk to myself.
That's right.
Yeah. Doctor, what is the score? What is the score? Dr. Vinny, what is the score? Oh, ba 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 ba.
Didn't you say something about it would be nice to see, like, a landslide?
I wanted to see, like, I think if he gets over 300, I mean, what was Reagan over Fritz and Tits? It was, like, around the same, right?
Yeah.
Like, doubled them?
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Absolutely wild. Well, we're going to have some visitors tonight, some guests stopping by virtually and literally, and open up the chat rooms. I'm going to open up a window.
I'll get the chat room. Hold on.
All right.
We're so screwed up with Blog Talk today. They piss me off.
They're doing their typical thing.
Yeah.
Do we have I don't know if we have... I'm looking to see if we have any John Adams on here. It doesn't look like we do.
No, I don't think so.
Well, rejoice evermore! That's all I can say about this. I am flipping out.
Wait, let me play this.
Okay. Meanwhile, on Fox...
You filthy criminies.
That's right. They're not going to take this lightly.
No, they're going to be recounting. There's going to be all kinds of BS. They already filed papers on certain... Because of Virginia not sending out the ballots for the...
I heard something about that.
Yeah.
Oh, for the military votes? Okay.
Yeah, they didn't send them out early enough. Oh, is he going to come out and talk now? What's up?
What, did the chat room open?
Yes, I'm talking to myself.
Come on, get in the chat room, you rat bastard.
Why must I
there?
Diddle myself in the chat room? You know, this is ridiculous.
Typical. Well, we can only thank the Blog Talk server for putting us on at 10 o'clock and we haven't been there for an hour. So if anyone showed up, they left.
Yeah.
So come on back. Come on back to Virginia. We're here. We're here when we said we'd be here. Unlike the Blog Talkers who tried to screw us again, but, you know.
I don't know how that happened. They had to
I do.
Because I absolutely made sure it was 11 to 1.
I blame Bill O'Reilly. Like, I blame him for everything else.
There goes 297 to 146.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what came through just now. Let me see if I can find out.
This is wild, man.
297. All right, let's see.
You see this thing at...
That was Florida. No, it wasn't Florida. That still didn't come through. What?
The ice at Rockefeller Center, where they're painting the ice. You see that? That's kind of cool. They got the Electoral College map on the ice. I was watching the dude this morning skating around on it in all the ruts. He was, like, pulling his groin.
Almost falling
over backwards on the... It was funny. This stupid eco. They have him skating around on the ice. He's, like, tripping over himself.
Jeez.
You know, I noticed about MSNBC, a lot of philos in the pundit
Oh, come on.
Category. Yeah, lots of them.
Must be.
That's where they are. But this is an eco night, even though the XO won, so. Charlie,
yeah,
has to make
Charlie! Candy Mountain! It's an end of sweet joy and joyness.
Please stop bouncing on.
That's right.
Yeah,
Charlie's
going
to get his ass kicked tonight.
I'm looking at the map here to see what else came through, but I can't tell. There's so much blue. So pretty.
It's a weird color because the way that little Z they made there with the red states.
Mm.
It looks like they gave them Florida now.
Not according to this map. We're still, let me see. If you look at Florida's numbers, it's 51-49 Obama. Montana's 50-47 Obama. Nevada's 59-39 Obama. Arizona's 45-54 McCain. And
Obama.
Colorado's 54-44 Obama.
Uh-huh.
Missouri's 49-50 McCain.
Uh-huh.
North Carolina's dead heat. I mean, they're. Jeez. And Florida.
I got Florida 1 here, 51-49. They got them winning.
Okay.
But
they don't have it on here.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's going to pretty much win everything else except Arizona, which, for God's sake, he almost lost. All right. Not really, but 45% to 54, you'd think that he would have gotten a little bit higher than that since it's this state.
Well, I mean, what I'm just amazed, though. It just looks like that whole southeast is where all the Democratic votes were, which is not what I'm used to.
No.
I still can't for the life of me figure out Louisiana, where Katrina was, going Republican. You'd think the anti-Bush sentiment down there in the Gulf, you know, Mississippi, where the Katrina hit, Texas, because Houston would still be there.
And it's huge, too. It's 61-37. Like I said before, maybe it was the vampires.
Maybe it's the vampire vote.
The vampire vote. They put it over, you know.
Well, this is going to be a wild night, so we got lots of things planned for you. And, wait for the Oprah appearance before we go back to live feed here, but to go around the NBC lineup here, you know, you got Rachel Maddow, right? And she's eco. And then you got your Olbermann there. Big
also
time
eco.
Also eco. Then you got that junkyard dog, Chris Matthews, who's a philo, but he thinks he's on, though.
And,
right?
and he also comes across as a very exo sometimes.
Well, when he gets mad, he has the other signatures, but ultimately he just sits there with his little eyes, and then you got David Gregory, who's a kind of a fagolophilo, you know, and then you got what's his name, Papa Bear there, I keep saying McCain, come on, the Nixon dude, Pat Buchanan, who's also a philo.
Is he really?
Yes, he's got a little down high philo, but he acts like, you know, he's onto, but he's not. He's actually very philo.
Wow.
If you watch him, every time he makes a comment that seems to be offensive, he giggles.
Oh, jeez.
That's the mark of the beast right there. So it's like I'm watching this before, I'm going, there's nobody here that has a left brain working. Oberman's just an emotional mess. He's all over the mess. I thought his hair was going to turn blue before. he's so into this. Got such a Jones for Obama. Somebody said something about Obama changing his mind about the money. Or something. Oh, he did not run the papers. And it was like that thing on SNL with Affleck the other day. With the talking about his cat. We got to find that. That's pretty funny.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I just, some of these states that McCain won, I just, like Tennessee. I mean, what did he do to deserve that state? And freaking North Dakota? I don't understand it. I guess some of them were Bush states.
North Dakota. He won
pretty
good.
What's Wyoming doing? 2-1. Is that just because of Halliburton?
Probably. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a dip away.
There goes Hawaii. Okay.
Yep.
Obviously.
Aloha, Hawaii.
Blue, of course. I want to see Alaska turn
blue. Hawaii.
Just for fun.
Well, yeah, all three of those votes.
That would be kind of funny, though. All right, looking here. Nothing else came through.
Whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
To which Obama says,
a judo.
And meanwhile, somewhere in Chappaqua.
Oh, no.
I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
That's right.
Oh, in Chappaqua, I could throw a rock and hit Chappaqua from here.
That's right. Yeah, you could see Chappaqua from your house. It's
that's
like,
right.
Palin,
I
can look
out my back door. That's right.
It's like Palin with Russia. All right, let me go get David Goodman. I'll be right back. Entertain yourselves.
I think I have to get him. Did you call in the...
I'm on the host line. You have to call him.
Yeah, I have to call him. All right, hang on.
Right.
I will dip out and...
All right, then we will rejoin you with David Goodman, and then we'll be listening to the dulcet tones of Kevin Dooley from the Wonka Sphere.
That's right. I have to find my little email to myself of that has his phone number here first.
Oh,
I got it. I got it. Okay.
All right.
I will call you back shortly.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. All right, it's me and my arrow here. We're going to flip around. So MSNBC, kind of a mess of somas over there, just having a good old time. And here's Karl Rove, ladies and gentlemen. Also a philo, in case you didn't know. Even though he acts like a, you know, SOB, but it's just funny how on Fox the crowd noise is muted. It's very strange. It's surreal, actually. You put on Fox, it's like you think the crowd is at a funeral or something. McCain phones Obama to congratulate him on the victory. That's on the AP. This is at 11:15. We didn't even get that far off the West Coast there. Look at these people. Okay, here's CNN, a little more festive. Now watch the noise tone.
All right, are we here?
Wow. Everybody's waiting for the big moment here, so we're going to do some stuff.
All right, I want to hear it. David, are you here?
Yeah.
Yay, okay.
All right. Joining us from the state that put Obama over the top.
306, look at that.
That's right. Known subversive and genius incarnate. David Goodman joins us from an undisclosed location in Southern California. Welcome. Welcome, and wave to the black helicopters tonight, everybody. Because, they might be taking a night off.
There you go.
So
wow.
Thanks for joining us out here. So what do you make of all this? I mean, they kind of predicted it a little bit that it might go this way, but is it playing out on the West Coast the way you expected?
Well, I'm not a political expert. I'm an Orwell expert. You know, we know what George Orwell said.
Well, what would Orwell say about this?
He said that 2% of the population knows what's going on, 13% serve them, and the other 85% of us are lobotomized.
Oh, my God.
So whatever's important takes place behind the scenes, that's all I'm saying.
All right, well, we have a short... Clap
on, clap off,
the
clapper.
That's all we got. So, wow, so... Let's jump right in. You got a book coming out. Why don't you tell people about it, and we'll get going on some of these issues now that we have a new president.
Issue is that people want change, and I'm going to supply them with change. I believe that there are five stages of emotional and mental development in human beings, and I also believe that there's only two of those five stages of development permitted at the great liberal universities of which we all attended and got degrees. Those five stages begin with, being intelligent and then being assertive. And then at some point you realize this is all a joke and you sort of repent. In other words, repent means go to the other side of the brain from the first two are the left side of the brain. Assertive is the left prefrontal, and then the intelligent you can do very well with the left frontal. And then you go across the corpus callosum, and there's three other ways to get the other side of the brain. And then you go into true innovation, and from there to steadfast pursuit of your private and social goals.
Hmm.
And I found this in many geniuses of history. And this particular book is about the human Jesus, not Jesus. I don't mention Christ in the whole book, and I don't mention the word divinity. But I think that what happened to Jesus would happen to any genius. The professors of the time were the Pharisees, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he conflicted with them. So the book is called The Hidden Neurology of the Lord's Prayer. And basically it's a guidebook on how to instill the mind of Jesus or embed the mind of Jesus in young children and in adolescents.
All right, I'm going to stop you there for a second. I think McCain's making his concession speech, so we'll pick it up in a sec here.
He is, and Florida went to Obama, just so you know.
But that he managed to do so by inspiring the hopes of so many millions of Americans who had once wrongly believed that they had little at stake or little influence in the election of an American president is something I deeply admire and commend him for achieving. This is an historic election, and I recognize the special significance it has for African Americans and for the special pride that must be theirs tonight. I've always believed that America offers opportunities to all who have the industry and will to seize it. Senator Obama believes that too. But we both recognize that though we have come a long way from the old injustices that once stained our nation's reputation and denied some Americans the full blessings of American citizenship, the memory of them still had the power to wound. A century ago, President Theodore Roosevelt's invitation of Booker T. Washington to dine at the White House was taken as an outrage in many quarters. America today is a world away from the cruel and prideful bigotry of that time. There is no better evidence of this than the election of an African American to the presidency of the United States. Let there be no reason now. Let there be no reason now for any American to fail to cherish their citizenship in this, the greatest nation on earth. Senator Obama has achieved a great thing for himself and for his country. I applaud him for it and offer in my sincere sympathy that his beloved grandmother did not live to see this day. Though our faith assures us she is at rest in the presence of her Creator, and so very proud of the good man she helped raise. Senator Obama and I have had and argued our differences, and he has prevailed. No doubt many of those differences remain. These are difficult times for our country. And I pledge to him tonight to do all in my power to help him lead us through the many challenges we face. I urge all Americans. I urge all Americans who supported me to join me in not just congratulating him, but offering our next president our goodwill and earnest effort to find ways to come together, to find the necessary compromises to bridge our differences and help restore our prosperity, defend our security in a dangerous world, and leave our children and grandchildren a stronger, better country than we inherited. Whatever our differences, we are fellow Americans. And please believe me when I say, no association has ever meant more to me than that.
All right, I'm going to take a break from the lion of winter here.
That was a gracious speech there.
Magnanimous. Maybe if he acted like that the whole campaign,
yeah,
maybe people wouldn't throw rocks at him, you know?
That's a fine speech, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Philo in him that you wish that part of his brain was moving his mouth in the debates, but he acted like, you know, he was doing his George Bush impersonation, and it didn't fly. So
well, what you find are these political candidates are surrounded by a strategic Gestapo
right. That
keeps fantastically good information away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So they live in a web of their own design. It's like they're living on an alternate universe. They don't really ever address they don't ever address the real problems.
Yeah, he hired the same goons that that Swift voted him in South Carolina 8 years ago.
There you go.
You know, I mean that just shows you how that anything to win. I mean, Hillary was doing shots with Teamsters, you know, in Pennsylvania, you know, to try and get the primaries. I mean, they literally, and this is one of the things that Nader brought up, is that you have a system that's binary. So if you eliminate any other point of view that doesn't fit into those two categories, basically you're going to be getting what you want about 50% of the time, and 2 years later you're going to have an opportunity to reverse it. So.
The point I was trying to make, maybe I wasn't making it very well, is that there's two ways to go right now. We have a candidate who said it's time for change that we can trust.
Mm-hmm.
On the one side, you've got the 2% who, whatever the heck they do, they commingle and are mutually cunning and power-seeking and monetary goals purely. And, you know, these are the kind of guys that Orwell said would rule the world and make it totalitarian. He picked 1984. I believe he really meant 2000, but that's another story. On the other hand, let's return the schools back to growing the bloody brains. You know, when I think I mentioned last time, in 1959, the number of depressed people in the United States was 1 in 1,000 that had to be medicated. The number of children that had ever used a narcotic in middle school, and especially high school, in this country was 1 in 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Those statistics are appropriate for Outer Mongolia now.
Wow.
In the schools, you know, half the students didn't even know what hashish was or marijuana. I mean, marijuana, you know, 9.6% THC now. Isn't that amazing? It used to be 4.3. Before that, it was 2.3. Before that, it was 1.5. Let's grow the brains and stop drugging the kids, okay? Let's stop drugging the parents. Let's let the real information percolate through the community. You know, I certainly have done my part over the last 25 years.
You know, what do you think they're afraid of? Because you were around, let's just go back, you know, 40, 45 years ago when, you know, this train kind of left the station, when they made a decision basically to look at mental illness rather than mental health. Was it just that there was no money in it? Was it just that it was politically expedient to just kind of deal with the social turmoil of the times, to just, you know, basically just drug everybody into submission, or do you think it was more draconian than that?
Well, the documentation is very clear. It's been published in psychiatric journals. It's really no secret about it. The plan was to lobotomize the American people because the dissidents, you know, the Chicago, what was it, Chicago 8, Chicago 6?
Yeah, right in Grand Park where they're hanging out tonight with Obama, yeah.
Yeah, they think too much and they're not happy. So in other words, they created a happiness cult in the United States.
Uh-huh.
And adjunctive to that, of course, is what we call positive thinking. So anybody who wasn't thinking positive and happy like everybody else was depressed. Even though depression is normal, because, you know, a certain period of the month, because the commercials say, if you're depressed more than 2 weeks, see your doctor. You've all heard it. Which means that to be depressed 2 weeks of the month is considered normal. But I think you're aware that the Violence Center at UCLA, run by C. Jolyon West or Jolly West, decreed that Americans would be lobotomized. I mean, as I said, it's in the psychiatric literature. There's nothing mysterious about it.
So
they think
like they
too much. They think too many abstractions. We need an era of happy people who join the group, who are not aberrant and marginal. You know, my favorite line is, can you imagine the arrogance it takes for one man to say that my work is mainstream and that guy's work is fringe? You know, we so take it for granted that there's such a thing as mainstream in science. Well, you're a chiropractor. You understand the differential.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is one of the things that we're going to talk about with some of the other guests the next hour. We got some chiropractors out west. I got a little blip from my research publisher talking about socialized medicine and chiropractic basically always being on the outside of everything, even though it's the most conservative approach compared to, you know, rehab and surgery and the other things. And the disease model, especially when it comes to things that aren't physical, I mean, Professor Val deals with the energy medicine stuff with things that she does with Reiki and things like that. It just seems like, you're right, they decided what's going to be acceptable, mainstream, alternative and accepted, and then shoved out the door a fringe. And it just seems that mentality, I guess you want to call it, or that approach has sort of run its course, and people are looking for options without permission, and they're finding that, hey, you know, it's a lot simpler than we thought. And, you know, like your method of doing a mood chart, which doesn't involve any drugs, just some paper and pencil, to chart your rising mood for a period of time, is to see if you're in rhythm or not. And you did it for over, what, 25, 30 years?
Right.
Charting your dreams? I mean, this is a behavior that families could do, and they realize why they're out of sync with things. We do it with the coherence calendar in our work and have people understand that, you know, their brain basically has an engine in it that goes through a cycle, every lunar cycle and every season, things like that. Those are the things that used to be looked at as being, that's just what those nuts in California sitting in the lotus position think. But the other six continents of the world that don't have the access to all this, you know, chemistry, they've adopted these behaviors for centuries, and now we look at it as being somehow inauthentic or, you know, not so scientific. But every once in a while they study some stuff, and they let some things in the back door, like a Herbert Benson gets the relaxation response in, or somebody lets progressive muscle relaxation in, or, you know, someone lets a little yoga in. So it just seems like the cracks in the wall are getting a little bit wider, so more information is getting through. But maybe now, I don't know. We're going to talk a little more about healthcare later. But in closing, do you think the one thing that people need to know about the brain is that it does not need the Merck manual to operate properly? Or is that that's like the big, like, disconnect? Everyone thinks their brain is somehow almost has a flaw in its design, that at a certain point, you know, either your genetics are going to get you, or, you know, and that this brain is defective and it needs to have drugs in order to function. So this sort of mentality of monitoring your emotions.
Obviously, you're disowning evolution, because there's nothing in evolution. Like, for example, yesterday,
right,
the Associated Press said, that, you know, USA Today said, there's a 40% increase in giving amphetamines to between 2002 and 2005 to little children, with all the criticisms now since the 70s. Can you imagine the arrogance of declaring that mainstream? I have a real quick story, because I got another minute. I was interested in derivatives.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to UC Irvine and I went to UC San Diego and went to the business schools to find out about these things. And I talked to a really stodgy guy, a really highly intelligent but stodgy guy at UC Irvine. And we talked about, you know, the applicability of rhythms and cycles to economic forecasting and bolstering the economy at the wrong phases and all that kind of stuff. And when I got to derivatives, I will never forget this. It's like he found God. His eyes begin to twinkle. It's like he put up his arms like you see in churches, in these
mm-hmm.
fundamentalist churches, and he said, you couldn't understand it, which, of course, is derivatives to his God, because you're not supposed to understand God either. So the point is that we are not intelligent enough to understand why everybody is being drugged, why we're being run by derivatives. But my point is, how could this be mainstream except Mad Men? You know, derivatives are I remember from calculus, you know, there is some kind of inflection points or some incredibly complicated mathematical equations that nobody understands, right?
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons.
So why don't we just declare what you're doing mainstream from now on? Always say, I'm doing mainstream work. I don't know what those other people are doing in the schools, drugging all the kids. If enough people say that, then they'll be marginalized.
Well, I think that's actually starting to happen with the refusal for people that don't want the vaccines, and they're contesting a lot of these things. So we're seeing, you know, like I said, almost like house by house, family by family, community by community, people are starting to understand this. But it just seems like there's a lack of just systemic cohesion about it, because the misinformation is getting to the ears of people just as fast as the information. So it might take a little while to get to the point people have a formal strategy to overcome it, because they spook people around here. They spook you into those shots, and they spook you into the flu shots, and they scare the old people every year with, oh, the flu's coming to get you. And they just give up their immune systems to big pharma. So I think it's the stuff you're talking about, the functional medicine you're talking about, is out there. It's available. But, the horse and the water have to get together here.
This morning I was in microbiology at UCSD, a good friend of mine. I said, you know, when I went to medical school for a year, I studied neurology. And Alzheimer's disease was a footnote. This is 1962. It was a footnote. I said, what do you think is the cause of Alzheimer's over the last 40-odd years?
Mm-hmm.
And he said fructose.
Mm-hmm.
That he's
that
done research. I mean, is he and I the only people with a brain? You, the only people, and Val, the only people with brains?
Yes.
No.
I mean, it had to be something that was added to the diet in huge amounts since 1962.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Or, as I said, if Prozac does horrible things to the right prefrontal lobe and you gain 20 or 25 pounds,
mm-hmm.
then obviously you have to implicate the right prefrontal lobe. So I read all the papers about this, and they say, no, it's stress. You see, we have more stress in society. As if we have more stress now than we did in 1959. Of course we don't. Right?
Right. I mean, well, uh-huh. Again,
but we do have Prozac. I mean, why don't we see the obvious? Fructose, Prozac, come on, give me a break. I'm not that smart. I don't have that high IQ. But I don't get deceived by lies. That's the difference. I don't have any great amount of money to be made if I Lee Harvey Oswald up on the sixth floor. He did it alone, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah,
look,
of course.
I think what we're getting at here is that the puppet show. Maybe we're about to pull the curtain out and see the wizard behind the curtain here a little bit more, because it's this kind of, to me, very basic, fundamental, biochemical information comes out. It makes sense that they would do it, because if you have a population that's growing, out of control, and you're fearful of that population, I mean, you can't gas them like they did, like Saddam did, but you can put a little fructose in their Fruit Loops, and and make them docile that way. I mean, didn't Hitler do that with his internal staff? Fed them all donuts to get them all to be, kind of compliant. I mean, it's food
well,
of the gods,
actually,
right?
Actually, I've read a great deal to see if Hitler or Stalin ever drugged their children.
Mm.
Well, I know Hitler didn't. Stalin drugged the members of the Gulag that he sent out to Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the first in human history to do this. That's an incredibly all-encompassing statement.
Mm.
But with all the criticism, to have 40 to 100% increase in drugging little children between 2002 and 2005, and God knows what it is now in 2008, it means that the 2% that decide everything in this country or did are oblivious to us, just utterly oblivious.
Well, we're just part of the, we're cargo. I mean, we're flotsam or jetsam, maybe we're both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes us 21 months to pick a president. It takes Israel or Britain 3 or 4 weeks to pick a new leader. I mean, give me a break.
We do everything. I mean, look at the way they dealt with the World Series of the rain last week. So, I mean, we're far away from where we need to be.
That's pretty bad.
I think we're going back to Grant Park here, so we're going to...
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bid you goodbye, David. And then again, what's your website that's coming out with the book? Is it tomorrowwillcare.com?
You got it.
Tomorrowwillcare.com,
yeah.
And is that up and running now, or is it up and running in a couple of days?
Oh, it should have been up and running today, probably tomorrow, the day after it'll be up.
All right, well, we'll have you back on once the book's up and running. I'll get you on there before the holidays, and a good stocking stuffer for the sugar-soaked family. Yes.
I hope someone stuffs my stocking with it.
Yes. For
you
the
know,
sugars.
You really have a brain, and I in the course of a day, I have to seek out university professors because most people can't hold these kind of conversations.
Well,
anytime we can talk off the show and go on tangents that they can't even find us on. So, anytime, David. So, thanks for joining us here on election night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks,
stay
David.
Happy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I like him.
Oh, he's so eco.
We get to keep him.
Yes. And to the drug lords that were poisoning our kids.
Paying more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck are you doing?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think we're going to have an Obama indoctrination here in a minute? Is she singing and stuff? Because I want to get the first part of the Dooley interview on, because this is the half hour stuff, so I want to make sure we get 15 minutes on this hour.
I don't know. Let me see here. Montana, Missouri, and North Carolina are the only, and Alaska obviously are the only ones that we don't have information on yet.
All right then, we will play a little Dooley, and if we need to stop it, we will stop it.
If we stop it, we can't restart it. Just so you know.
We'll restart it next hour.
We can't restart once we start.
I will play it on the other thing, not the switchboard.
Oh, okay.
X-Bay, Barney, X-Bay.
Hey, listen, I'll come over there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, without further ado, Kevin Dooley from the wonkasphere.net, a political hub that was charting all the election stuff, so we're going to listen to some of that, and we're back to close this hour here on the Blog Talk server from hell. There we go. Mr. Dooley. Your floor. Okay, joining us now on Eye Contact from an undisclosed location somewhere in the wilds of Arizona, we have with us Kevin Dooley from wonkasphere.net and Crawdaddy. I knew I was going to blow that. Crawdad Tech. Thanks for joining us here on election night, Kevin Dooley.
You bet. Thank you.
You got to take us back, because I met you and it was almost like I feel like I've. Seemed like a sort of a witness protection program for a guy that was an academic that was interested in business and not only dynamics and was, you know, the first time I went to a Society for Chaos Theory and Life Sciences meeting up in Boston, you were the outgoing president, I believe, and, you know, it was just like meeting another guy that went to was in a school and in a short, well, not short, 12 years or so. You've transformed yourself into this major influence on the blogosphere. So just kind of give the listeners a little history of where you were and where you are.
I'm at Arizona State University. I'm in the business school. And a guy that I work with a lot, Steve Corman, is in communication. And we both had a mutual interest in trying to understand human communication at a very basic level of discourse. Being in the business school, you know, I'm thinking about basically ways to gain insight into how human social systems work and how maybe to learn from them and make them better. And the reality is most of the data, you could say, that we have about a social system is in fact in the form of words, whether it's be customer comments or emails that bounce around the company, or the words that are said within important meetings or even in hallway conversations. And so we went about and developed a text analysis technology that basically models the words that a person says in terms of how they relate to one another. It uses the old rules that you might remember from grade school about diagramming sentences and that kind of stuff. In 2004, as we were developing this technology, we thought it'd be fun to point it towards the political campaign, and so we monitored the Bush and Kerry websites, and we invented something called the mud meter, which measured basically how much negative language each candidate was using when they talked about the other candidate. And as it turns out, contrary to maybe a common thought, Kerry actually threw a lot more mud than Bush during the campaign season. But Bush's throwing of mud was much more timely. There were just like intense periods where Bush got very negative, or at least his campaign site got very negative on Kerry, and then he'd back down a bit. And when we looked at the linkage between it and the poll numbers, we saw that that Bush was kind of in a win-win situation. Whenever he threw mud, he gained in the polls, and whenever Kerry threw mud, Bush gained in the polls. So in the meantime, you know, from that 2004 time, we were continued interested in kind of the commercial application of monitoring social media and the blogosphere. And so this time around, back in the summer of 2007, we decided to start Wonkosphere, and we started tracking about 1,500 plus of the most prominent political blogs in the conservative and liberal and independent spheres, and kind of threw our technology at it to both demonstrate what the technology could do as well as just have some fun as political junkies.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I remember back before the 2004 election was in the wake of 9/11, such things like the listservs like we participated in, like Chaos Psych, your analysis, like the keywords that were being used in speeches that were being made and emails, you had those little diagrams, like almost like looked like a neural network, you know, where the keyword was in the middle and things like that. And I guess that was the genesis of the Crawdad work that came on later. Do you have that sort of thing on your side of the coin, looking at this work, like seeing things as sort of a, like, what's the center word for the campaigns? Because I'm looking at the mud meter here, and I'm actually seeing, if you go to wonkosphere.net and you click on the mud meter today, you can see a real spike in Obama's negative campaigning in the last 3 or 4 days, from the 29th to now. And these keywords, is this basically the cleaned-up version of those old spiderwebby-looking things, those neural networks with these, the words in boldface would be more to the center, and the words toward the bottom would be out toward the periphery of the spider-leggy kind of thing you guys used to do?
That's right. Again, the stuff that we have on the mud meter is still focused on McCain and Obama's website. Whereas the kind of general buzz share numbers that we have and whatnot are actually pointed at the 1,500 plus blogs that we're tracking, and kind of the one idea that we, the way that we matured that idea was when we were looking at kind of what other websites do. Basically, you know, there's two ways that these hundreds and thousands and then millions of articles of content basically get filtered to you, the reader. Either somebody makes up their mind that these are the important stories, and in the 5 or 10 or 20 slots that we have to show, you know, articles, here's what we're going to show you. So, for instance, you go to something like Yahoo homepage, in their little news column, you know, they'll show you 5 articles. If you go to Huffington Post, they'll show you 10 blog posts from outside the Huffington universe. And that's just somebody sitting down and making up their mind about what they think is going to be interesting. The other way is through popularity. So you get sites like Dig, where basically you're able to see what's hot according to other people. And so when we developed Wonkosphere, we thought, well, you know, what's important isn't necessarily hot or well-known or necessarily even come up on the radar screen of somebody to say that, hey, you should look at this. So what we use our technology for is to kind of take the universe, in any 24-hour period, take the universe of blog posts in each of the two spheres, and then figure out basically the blog post that is most central to kind of the discourse over that past 24 hours. So that blog, as we've seen through the campaign, it highlights both the kind of very popular blogs, which tend to be kind of dominant in terms of setting a stage for a discourse, as well as some obscure blogs that simply happen to have the voice of the collective down very well. So that's the way that we determine the articles in our buzz column, and then our one step ahead, which is which of the blogs, for example, yesterday on Monday, the November 3rd, best captured and talked about the buzz that is going on Tuesday, November 4th. So mm-hmm. we're able to pick up those blogs that are kind of prescient, if not influential, at least prescient of what people were talking about the next day.
Now, looking through the mirror the other direction, how much do you feel that the campaigns are monitoring things like you guys to see if they're having an effect with their internet buzz, and they would change course based on, you know, the direction of the mud meter or the direction of the way that the buzz is going to for them or against them? Do you feel like that this is a two-directional type of thing where they're watching you and you're watching them and they're playing off each other sort of as a spy or a detector?
Well, mm-hmm. so there's a couple answers there. The we know that most of the campaigns have I don't know how central or how deep we got into the organization, but we knew most of the campaigns were monitoring us in some way. But I think more importantly, what we saw were kind of two roles, two main roles that blogs are playing. One is that they're an early adopter of campaign ideology, campaign policy positions, and so we absolutely know that the campaigns are looking at the stickiness of their messages, the positive and negative reactions to their policy ideas within the blogosphere, both within kind of their own camp of kind of what I would call fan blogs, you know, mm-hmm. so it's a blog for Fred Thompson or it's a blog for John Edwards, as well as the kind of the mainstream blogs that have high readership. So, and the reason we say that we think they're indicative of the population, they're an early adopter, is because we, in fact, through the data through the primary season, demonstrated that if you saw a change in the buzz share numbers for a candidate of a significant amount, that you could expect a change in the national poll numbers 2 to 3 weeks afterwards. So that kind of suggested that bloggers move in the same way that the general populace does, but they do more quickly. The other side of it is that we know that the mainstream media is, in fact, selecting their stories and what they're going to pay attention to by looking at the blogosphere. So they very much are looking at the blogosphere again as a test bed for what stories are likely to be hot with the rest of the reading populace.
Now, again, this is one of those things that comes up as I guess it's a meme, but I've heard it the last couple of weeks, this concept of the low-information voter, that this is something that the candidates kind of count on towards the end, and that's when you see a lot of things coming out that are somewhat, this thing about Obama's aunt and all these little things get dropped on the path. Do you see that your way of tracking things and analyzing things, does the low information voter turn to the web first for information, or do they rely on the mainstream to get their polarizing issues resolved?
I think it's a great question, and my intuition is that the kind of predictive power of the bloggers basically decreased to almost nothing after the nominations, and that this so-called low information voter is not looking to the blogs, not looking to the net for the news. I think that it very much is a matter of what's happening in the, you know, the three or four main network TV stations and perhaps their local newspaper. So I think that those particular, you could say, laggards in the kind of innovation adoption process are probably getting their information from very standard media outlets, and then also from peers around them, family and friends.
So then 180 from that, some of the third-party candidates, I've heard Nader basically come calling out from under every garbage can, every rock in the last 3 days because he didn't get an audience in the mainstream. Does he thrive on the web as far as getting his issues across, as far as getting his a buzz for himself? Because as he's trying to become more of an issue-oriented or a platform-oriented candidate and trying to raise a coalition on the web so that he can then become more of a watchdog, that was his whole issue coming into the campaign, not to win, but to basically hold the two-party system accountable. So do you see the third party using the web almost opposite of the low information voter, more of the high-density issue-oriented guy is going to go to the web for that kind of stuff?
Boy, you know, you would think so. You sure would think so, and we just don't see it. For instance, this season, Bob Barr, the Libertarian candidate, had far more buzz than Ralph Nader. And if you go back, kind of Ron Paul was the famous case study. Everybody's saying, oh, Ron Paul's got such an internet following. How come it doesn't translate into votes? And the reality is that yeah, he did have a lot of buzz share. But I'll tell you, his buzz share went continuously down from about, I'd say, the beginning of November or middle of November, you know, through March and April. So I think he led all the Republicans in conservative buzz share in November, but then his buzz just went straight down. So even though he had a lot of people talking about him, again, they were primarily coming from what I would call fan blogs, and it wasn't catching fire with kind of the more with the blogs that were looking at all the candidates.
No, last time.
All right, we're going to stop that interview right there to take this very important phone call from the cybersphere. You're on the air with Naked Samba. Hello. Hello. Is he there?
Musty. Yeah, you.
Yeah, you. You're on.
Oh, my God. I didn't know. I'm sitting here listening to this. You know, it's like almost like a drum beat. La, 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 la. Okay, listen. The reality is this.
Yes?
The Electoral College is a very fine institutional. There's no. No, there is no.
I need rum.
No, you. What you do. Yeah, you definitely need rum.
Mm-hmm.
And actually,
mm-hmm.
go back and do a little historical research about where the Constitution was actually hammered out. It was probably in a tavern.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Keith Olbermann Tavern. Figure that out.
Yes, sir.
Well, the fact of the matter is the Electoral College is a very fine institution and has proven itself tonight. Mark, it's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. Who's it? Who else is the other person on the line?
That's Val.
Oh, Val, how you doing? It's
hello,
beautiful.
Darling.
Yeah, she's here every week.
God bless. You know.
Yeah.
Definitely gonna get some cold cuts over there at the Pallone's and stuff.
There you go.
Oh man, I haven't been there in a while. Shout out to Pallone's.
Oh man.
Yeah, the Electoral College is a wonderful thing. You know why? I'll tell you why.
Why's that?
Because, you see, the one man, one vote thing is a beautiful thing, but then
mm-hmm.
the presidential candidates have to actually only canvass in, like, 20 cities. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're not, they don't have to worry about, like, other states. Iowa would be out of the situation. You know, basically, Indiana would be out of the situation. At least with the Electoral College, they're basically underneath an umbrella. They have to actually give a little bit of countenance to actually the people, other states. They would basically be campaigning in where? New York, Los Angeles, and that's it, if there was a one-man, one-vote situation.
Mm-hmm.
The Electoral College basically will, and also it basically will, if there's a theft in an election, the Electoral College is a very simple place to actually find that one theft in one state. So I think tonight was a very interesting situation.
Yeah. All right, we're winding down the hour. We're going to be going live to Grant Park, so everybody has to hang up and redial because Blog Talk Radio is an inefficient machine.
That's right.
So,
we have to do that.
We have to hang up, so we'll be right back because Obama's coming out to accept
out,
his deal. So, well, we'll throw everybody out because we've got to come back to the room.
Okay, great, because I want to watch that one. It's about time he actually does something.
Thanks for joining us.
Are you calling
back? You come on back and join us in 2 minutes. We're calling right back.
God
everybody,
bless.
Everybody, just vai con Dios.
You calling in on host or am I calling in on host?
You can call on host this time.
Okay.
All right, we're calling right back. We'll be right back with more Eye Contact Radio. Bye-bye. Okay.